Welcome to As Told Here, conversations and stories shared in the public interest in Studio W at WPAA-TV and Community Media Center. As Told Here brings community media to where you are.
Good evening. Welcome to the Central Connecticut Intergroup Speaker Meeting. My name is Scott and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Alcoholic Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other so that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve their sobriety. I've asked Christine to read. I've asked Paul.
Peggy.
I've asked Peggy. I've asked everybody to read how it works tonight, but Peggy, why don't you do that for us?
My name is Peggy. I am an alcoholic. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Many of us had tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was no, until we let go absolutely. Remember, we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter of the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God couldn't would if he was sought.
Thanks, Peggy.
Thanks, Peggy.
Thanks, Peg. And would you please welcome our speaker, Christina.
Hi, my name is Christina, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Christina.
I hate sharing my story. It just gets nervous. Being vulnerable is so scary to me. But I feel these feelings now as because of this program and what it was like. I always remember being really uncomfortable when I was younger. I always remember being really nervous around people. I was just always so up in my head, very anxious about what people were thinking and feeling and trying to practice myself, like to make them comfortable more than make myself comfortable. And I just always remember being very like wound like a top, like I was just ready to explode and just trying to make it to each day, make it through each day without like getting embarrassed or embarrassing someone else. I don't know, it's just always very up in my head. I remember being very nervous and anxious. I remember my first drink when I was 16 years old. I went to a party and it was Sky Vodka. How it starts and ends for me. I remember like drinking it and feeling like, wow, like this is amazing. I remember being like, I can talk to boys. Like that was the biggest thing. I was such a square. Like before I couldn't talk to anyone. I was so, because I was so anxious around people. And then I drank and I was like talking to boys. I was making out with a boy. I was, you know, talking just being like, I felt comfortable. I felt like I was being one with my peers and like I could finally relax because my head stopped talking to me and I was always anticipating what people were thinking about me. And then when I had the alcohol, like I didn't care what they were thinking about me. I could just be. And for a while alcohol worked for me that way. I was able to drink. I mean, from the beginning I was always a blackout drinker. I was always drinking too much, going past the point. Like I wanted to get to a certain point, but then I'd get to that point and somehow I'd end up, you know, blackout and waking up the next morning like, what happened? Where am I? And where's my car? And just all these things. And it was a mess really quickly. I mean, for me, alcohol was brought me to my knees. You know, I've had other, drugs are involved in my story. They brought me into the program, but alcohol was always the one that like brought me like to my knees. It was always the darkest one. It just had this hold over me. I couldn't function without it. I couldn't think about going to work without at least having a shot. I couldn't think about getting off of work, and like alcohol was the first thing. And then, you know, eventually I had to drink before I went to work. And then I just couldn't get to work anymore because I needed to stay home and drink because I just couldn't interact with people anymore. I had started to have these circlings with AA. Like I had a friend who was sober and she used to drink and party worse than me. And then all of a sudden she was sober and getting better. And I reached out to her and she brought me to a meeting and it was amazing. Like I remember like just seeing all these people. I was born and raised in Vegas and it was the first meeting I went to, I think had like 300 people and they looked nice and they smelled nice and you know they're crowding around me and I was just so like I couldn't be like it was just I was so anxious because I needed a drink but I knew I couldn't drink and they were just being so nice to me but I just couldn't like deal with it. But I'm so grateful for that experience because it kept me coming back to the rooms. Like I said, I circled around AA. I would come in and out. I would do like steps 1, 2, and 3, and then I'd go out again. Like the steps were really hard for me to get through. I had this trouble with being honest. I couldn't be honest with people. It was too hard for me to let down all these walls. You know, I had these walls that were kind of protecting me, and I didn't know how to let people in. And like slowly with each relapse, it was like a wall would crumble down, and I would come in, and I found a sponsor in Vegas who I was finally able to start being really honest with. And also I went to jail a couple times and so I felt like I should get honest. I was court ordered to go to like therapy and to go to AA and I don't know, I just remember like asking God, like, I don't know why I can't do this. I was just, please help me. Like just like really getting on my knees and like help me. Like I don't know what else to do. I see these people and they seem to be getting it and I think I'm giving it over to him, but I just can't. And finally, I don't know, this last relapse, I ended up in the hospital like within 24 hours and that was enough for like me asking God for help. And I started to commit to the program. I came in, you know, step one, like I realized alcohol just didn't do for me what I couldn't do, just couldn't do for me what I thought it used to do. I needed to find something else. I needed to find a sufficient substitute, and alcohol just wasn't it anymore. So I started seeing these people around me, and I started talking to them and saying, like, this is what's going on in my head. Like, my head tells me to drink. My head tells me to go get champagne all the time. It tells me I'm just going to have, you know, like a little brunch with champagne, but then I get to the liquor store, and it's a bottle of vodka that I also need to get because the champagne's not enough. And, like, people will laugh and be like, yeah, me too. And I was like, really? Like, it just, that was so scary for me to say out loud, I remember. And then they're just laughing and saying, that's me too. And I'm okay. And, like, slowly I'd say another thing that was in my head about, like, I think you're thinking this about me. And they'd laugh, say, I think you're great. Like, I don't think that about you at all. And, like, okay. And, I don't know, just slowly letting these people in. And I'm slowly giving myself over to them. Like, that's what it was, the higher power for me in the beginning was just, like, the fellowship. And just talking with them, like, kind of interviewing them about all these different things that were going on in my head. And, like, hearing that they go through them, too. And God, for me, was a really slow process, but it started in those people. It started in those conversations, and they would point things out to me. My sponsor in Vegas was the first one. Like, it was just little simple things, like little coincidences, and it's crazy because I see God in everything now. But I remember back then I had to be pointed out. I had to be shown. Like, it was as simple as I wanted a juice one day, and my sponsor had, like, an extra pack of ice, and she never carries that much ice, but today I had just enough for you, and little things like that. And it just kept happening that way. I came to Connecticut from Vegas because of my husband's job, and the fellowship here was different, and it took me a while to adjust, but I love it here so much. Like, and I found another sponsor. I did my fourth step here and fifth step. And again, just those things, like, I've done the same thing, like finding the person that I needed to connect with on that level that just showed me, like, it's okay. I do this too. And we get through it. I don't do that anymore. And now we live these different lives. And 6 and 7, those are the ones that I always live in. My defects, you know, I have a husband, and, you know, Miracle Grow, having a relationship puts Miracle Grow on your defects, but he's an alcoholic and he works on his too. And it's just so crazy because the way my life is today, like, it's so good. And, like, going through these steps, like, making my amends to my family. My mom is sitting here with me today, and I made amends to her. You know, I put her through so much pain too. Like, I stole her peace of mind and her serenity, and I did that to my dad and my sister, but I couldn't see that back then. I thought I was only hurting me, and going through the fourth and fifth step and really seeing the way I treated everyone. And 10, 11, and 12, like, I meditate every day. I talk to God all the time, and I'm always there to help out. Like, being asked to do this thing that I do not like to do, is so hard for me because I always feel like I sound like a mess. Like, I have no idea what I've said already, and try not to let my ego talk to me, because it's like, you're not saying anything good. But I'm here, and I'm sharing what I feel like is coming from my heart, because I know that there's someone out there who's suffering in the way that I did. And that's what I heard the first time I came to AA, was a man talking about what his head told him and how nobody else would understand, but this is how my head talked to me. I was like, that's how my head talks to me too. And going through the steps and going through therapy, like I said, my life is just amazing today. I have, like, a community of women that my husband and I bought a house in this town that I didn't know anyone in, and now I found this community of women that I love, like, and I lean on them for support, and I have a wonderful therapist that I love. And, you know, my mom came to visit me for a week, you know, even 2-3 years ago. Like, I don't know if we would have made it a week without fighting. Like, you know, God has brought us this relationship that it's just amazing. And my sister and I get along now. My husband and I got arrested, you know, for assaulting him multiple times. And he and I, you know, we got together, we said, we're gonna make this work. We're going to both get better. And went to couples counseling, you know, God brought that idea to us. Go to couples counseling, go. And, you know, it's so hard because I want him to be the problem and I know he wants me to be the problem. But for whatever reason, we both brought God into the relationship, and it made it easier to, like, put aside the ego, be able to talk to each other and say, hey, I feel this way, or hey, how do you feel about this? Like, it's just recognizing that they're in pain and to be able to help them. And now I'm supporting him and he's supporting me. And, like, God also brought me a career. I always thought, like, when I was living in Vegas, I just thought I wanted to grow up to be married to a rich man and have a big rock on my finger with a big house, you know, and kids, I guess, because I supposed I should have kids if I wanted to stay home. And, like, today I have this dream where I want to be a social worker, and I'm going to school to do that, and I'm supporting my husband in his job. He might leave his job, you know, I might have to support us, and that's fine. Like, that's I'm happy to do all these things. My life today, like, I don't know how else to explain it. This program, the way my life is today, is unbelievable. When I first came to this program, like, the things I thought I wanted, the things I thought I needed to be okay, were just so far removed from what my life is today. I feel like that's all I keep saying, my life today. But I just don't know where I'd be without this program. My husband and I talk about that all the time. When I came to Connecticut and I had that last relapse and I went to High Watch, and we didn't think we were going to make it because COVID hit and, you know, everything got shut down. They locked us up in the rehab pretty much, and it was just, but it was the best thing because we didn't realize that we were codependent on each other. And then we kind of had to stand on our own two feet, and I just committed myself to this program, and it's brought me this wonderful life today. I don't really know what more I can say. I've said a lot. That's all I have.
Terrific. Well, Christine, certainly thanks for sharing that. That was amazing. And who would like to comment or who would like to share about that?
I'm Paul, an alcoholic.
Hey, Paul.
I can relate a lot. I can, like, to the self-worth issues, to, like, I still have that problem. I walk into a room and I'm like, what's he thinking? What's she thinking? And a lot of it's my own fault. You know, I brought it on myself because of my past and the mistakes I've made. And, you know, I got to unlearn that and I got to spend the time. But I can definitely relate to a lot, you know. Your relationship with God is amazing. And I know if it wasn't for God, like, my relationship with God has gotten me through so much, even sober. So that stuck out instantly, like, keep going. Like, that's, like I said, like, if I didn't have the relationship I have with God today, just because I'm sober doesn't mean my life has been easy, you know? And because I have God, I've gotten through it all. I'm still bad 1,000. So I'll pass with that.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Peter, alcoholic.
Peter.
Glad to be living sober. Thank you for sharing your story, you know, and, you know, welcome your mom here, too. You know, it's a family disease, you know, and, my dad was an alcoholic. My mom was an Al-Anon. And that's how I came into this fellowship. I'll probably get emotional because, you know, my dad and I were sober for 30 plus years together when he passed away. You know, my mom was an Al-Anon when I was a kid, you know, and she asked me to go to Alpine. I was too cool at that time, you know. But it's amazing, you know, when we have an open mind and willingness, you know, to listen and take direction from somebody else, you know, and just see people and we relate to what somebody's sharing. It's like, you know, I can relate to that. You know, and not compare, you know, the war stories, you know, we all did that, we all know what that is, we all drink, we all do that stuff, but it's like to relate to the feelings, what's happening, you know, and now it's about, you know, what can I do to stay sober today, you know, and service work, I've been around a few 24 hours, and I don't like doing what you just did today, but it's amazing, you know, it's amazing. I remember my first time speaking, I think it was 90 days sober, and the second speaker didn't show up at a meeting, and my sponsor, you know, talking to the chairperson at break time, and the chairperson came over to me and said, your sponsor said you're going to be the second speaker tonight. You want to talk about butterflies, you know, but I walked out of that meeting with such a high. It was unbelievable. I don't remember what I said. I don't know how long I talked, but it's incredible. And today, you know, my focus on, you know, first of all, I stay sober by living the steps in my life today and try to pass it on to somebody else, you know, by doing that, by doing service work, you know, being available for 6 months an alcoholic, you know. And this, you know, meeting in pocket that, you know, Central Connecticut Intergroup does produce, you know, stay sober, don't drink, go to meetings, read the big book, get a sponsor, work the steps, help another alcoholic. That's what my job is today, is to do those things. If I do those things, I'll be okay today. And like Paul said, you know, my life is not always a bunch of roses, but sometimes I got to work with manure and thorns, and the roses appear. Glad to be alive and sober. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Pete.
My name is Peggy. I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Peggy.
And thank you for sharing with us. I've been in this program for many years. My first rehab was in 1989. And when I got out of my rehab, I just figured all I needed to do was stop drinking. You know, and I did go to a meetings for a couple of weeks. And then I decided, well, that's all I got to do. Leave the cap on the jug. You know, so I gave up the meetings, I gave up the fellowship, and I took it all back, and it took me years and years to realize that if I don't fully commit to this program, I'm going to die. I went through scores of relapses before it got me to the point where I am today. I'm working on 4 years, and I haven't had that in years, over 10 years, whatever. And it's because I totally surrendered. I did the steps. I got a sponsor. I read the book. I do the service. And my hand is always out there to help the next alcoholic that needs me. And again, thank you so much for sharing. It brought back some of the things that I seem to forget.
Thanks, Peggy.
Hi, I'm Dakota. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dakota.
It was so nice to hear you, Christina. You did an amazing job. And similar to like what everyone was saying, like you really brought me back. And I got so emotional when you were talking about your mom. And one thing that I heard in your story was like how better your relationships got and the importance of that. Because like back when we're drinking and we, like, don't have relationships with others, or at least, like, they're not going too well. And so it's just such a beautiful thing that once we get sober, we're able to mend those relationships. Like, the relationship that I have with my mom today, my mom's sober as well, and she used to be a buzzkill, but now we're, like, we're friends. And we talk like friends with mutual respect and mutual love, and that never used to be the case. Me and her went on a trip recently, and it was just smooth. Like it's just like you were saying about how you put God in your relationships. I think it's so important to put God as number one. As long as we put God as number one, everything will be okay. Even if it seems like it's not okay, it'll be okay. And my sponsor always says, like, wake up in the morning, put your God armor on, and I just love that. And she says, like, I wear glasses, so she'll be like, take off your glasses and put on your God glasses. And it's crucial for me to have God as number one, otherwise it's not a good thing. So with that, I'll share the time, and thank you so much. I really enjoyed your story tonight.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Deanna, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Deanna.
I'm really glad that I got to come and hear you speak again. It's always amazing to me when you talk about that, you know, our relationships with women and our relationships that we grow. I remember when you first started coming to the meeting and seeing the growth and watching how much, you know, you've grown over the time that you've been here. And it's funny because, you know, I see you as a woman of strength and as a woman who perseveres and walks through, even though you are unsure and even though you're not, you know, maybe feeling that great about what's going on. And that's really one of the things that I admire about you. And I admire the fact that you're always willing to ask questions and always willing to learn. You know, I'm just really glad I've gotten to know you. You're definitely someone that I see that puts their everything into their sobriety. And I love to hear your story. And, you know, I just love to watch you grow. So I'm really glad that I got to come here tonight and see you and hear you speak again. Thank you, Christina.
Thanks,
Deanna. Hi, I'm Scott. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Scott.
I think this is probably my favorite part of AA's is speaker meetings. I draw so much strength. It's been a tough couple weeks for me. Obviously, still sober. I shouldn't say obviously, but I am. And I just get that if you can do it, I can do it kind of thought that I see and I hear what you're dealing with. And I go, well, if she can muster up the strength to do it another day, so can I. The relationships with people around you, boys, that speak to me as well. That I thought I had relationships when I was drinking, but I certainly did not. Certainly not the ones I have now. And they're a lot of work. Whereas before, I would just drink them away. Like whatever conflicts, whatever would come up, well, I'll deal with that tomorrow, which of course I never would. So that is certainly a work in progress, but when you see what can happen in the positive side of sobriety and gives you hope, saying, hey, like I said, if you can do it, there's no reason why I can't do it. And I appreciate that shining a light on the good side of AA and showing us if you do what you're supposed to do, it'll be another day sober. So I appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Hi, I'm Dana. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dana.
Thank you, Christina, for sharing your story. I can so relate to that confusion that goes on in the head and just wanting to get rid of it until you can't any longer. The alcohol, the drugs just don't do anything for you anymore. And so then you have to learn how to face it and how to, you know, I think the thing I've learned in this program is how to calm my mind without the use of external forces. I never, ever, when I was younger, thought that that would happen. I just, you know, and I still, when I get anxious, that mind, it goes. But the program does teach you, you know, to breathe, to pick up the phone, you know, get in touch with somebody, even to just go sit in a corner for a few minutes and talk to your God, your higher power, gather yourself. I never was able to do that. And so I like that you emphasize that, you know, it's possible to do that, and I never thought it would be. Relationships, yeah, you know, we have a tendency, we're self-centered. We tend to think that what we're doing is affecting nobody but us. And in the meantime, we are destroying. We're just, you know, like Tasmanian devils running through the lives of other people that, you know. And until we get sober and start working on ourselves and really look, that's where the honesty of the program comes in, is when we start to do our self-evaluations and realize what damage we have done. But, again, the fellowship teaches you can fix it all. And I'm just really glad I got to come and hear your story because, you know, I see you every, you know, at the meeting all the time, and it's like, I can't believe you got sober actually out in Vegas. I don't know how.
That's a tough one.
Anyways, thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you, Dana.
Thanks, Dana.
I'm with you on that. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
My name is Dana. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, David. Hey,
thanks for sharing, Christina. Yeah. What I think is amazing is seeing you sitting there, and all the time you're doing this, your eyes are just so alive, and you're smiling, you know. Mom's over there, her eyes are alive too, cringing sometimes, but her eyes are alive, you know. And to me, that's one of the things that I really enjoy about the meetings, is seeing that in the people. I mean, just especially, you know, at a speaker meeting, sharing that. You know, and Lisa talks about the times that you'll see people and they tell their story, you know, the drinking part, you know, they still kind of have the head down and everything. And then recovery starts in. And you can just see, you know, the smile comes and the eyes light up, you know. And it's a beautiful program, and you know, I'm very glad I was able to hear you. You know, I especially like what you're talking about, you know, putting up the blocks and, you know, how you felt so different when you were growing up. You know, I think that's a common thread with everybody. I know it's with me. I mean, you know, I was kind of told the opposite. I wanted to be in control of everything and have, you know, and I really didn't care what people thought or said about me, you know. And, but I could never shut my head off, ever. You know, and the alcohol did that for me, you know. I mean, and, you know, and it would talk to me all the time, you know, keep drinking, you know. Until it got to a point where it just said, okay, all you have to do is just drink a little bit and you'll be fine the rest of your life, you know. And soon after that, you know, came into the program because it was just going to be, you know, medical alcoholism is what I call it, you know, where you just sit there and use it as medicine just to get through life. You know? Well, thanks very much for sharing. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dana.
Thanks, David. All right. Well, we're going to close up. Christina, thanks again for coming in tonight and sharing it. It's very inspirational. And we'll end with the responsibility statement. I am responsible when anyone, anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. Thank you.
Thanks to our local producers and Team Hercules for production support. As Told Here, conversations and stories shared in the public interest in Studio W at WPAA-TV and Community Media Center. As Told Here brings community media to where you are.